Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to welcome all of our Darrell campus students and those who are online by the internet and by Roku. This is an exciting time.
Amen.
Smile. It's okay. I know you worked hard all day and that type of a thing, but when you come here, you have to switch gears. Because you come here to pull. You come here to receive. You know, most time people think men of God or gifts just operate. They operate according to what you want.
Amen.
If you don't want nothing, nothing time nothing divided by nothing plus nothing equal nothing. So I'm not here to perform for you. I'm here upon the apostolic government and authority to share some things, not everything. Because I believe that this class is it bespeaks the heart of God. We cannot do ministry effectively without moving in the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight, Father, we thank you for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life. I can say, and I know we could say, that our lives can never be the same because of apostolic government and the teaching that you are putting into his heart. We thank you for the revelation of grace and faith. It's because of that we are free and we don't have to perform. We don't have to work or earn. We can just learn to flow, believe, and receive. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Thank you for all these students here on Darrell campus and online. Give them an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're turning your books to chapter number 4, I know you didn't read it, so just follow along. Amen. Hey, chapter number 4, I believe it's on page 31. You know, your homework assignment has been to basically read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, chapter number 13, chapter number 14. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, I want you not just to commit it to memorization, but to meditate it. Because it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to do what? To profit withal. Then when we got over into 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, we said that the most important thing for us is to do what? Desire spiritual gifts. You cannot go nowhere if you don't gain a thirst, a desire to function in these gifts. All right? Now, one of the things we pointed out is that the gateway to all of the gifts of the Spirit begins with the simple gift of what? Prophecy. Prophecy. We must develop. You know, everybody want to graduate, but you got to go to kindergarten before you graduate from high school. You understand? You got to be willing to go through the process. So tonight, I know I started talking to you about, you know, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. But since prophecy is the gateway, I want to go back a little bit and develop the four realms of prophecy. The four realms of prophecy, watch this, to get you in the prophetic flow, to show you that, you know, the spirit of prophecy will come upon you and you need to recognize it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know you've been in church a while, some of you, and you've heard this. Well, you know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's true, right? But do you know you have to be developed and trained to be led by the Spirit? Unless we're going to develop that attitude that most believers have. Well, I don't need no man to teach me. The Holy Spirit teach me. Well, the Holy Spirit is a teacher, but he's also functioning in somebody to teach you. And men such as Apostle Thompson, who by reason of experience and use of the word can impart things to us that you can't get on your own. Okay, so in the fourth chapter in your books, it talks about the four realms of prophecy. All right, now it says scriptures clearly indicate that there are various realms of the prophetic flow. There are different degrees of the anointing operating in each of these prophetic levels. We need to have a clear understanding of the various levels of the prophetic flow and how they function in order to be able to distinguish and to develop each level. Oh, don't do that to me. That's the one thing about an iPad. You hit the wrong button, it'll run away on you. Right. Praise the Lord. Thank God for technology, but just don't hit the wrong button. All right. So it says, the prophetic flow and how they function in order to be able to distinguish and to develop each level, bringing it to maturity and to effectiveness. Okay, so now let's talk about the four realms of prophecy. Four realms of prophecy. Number one, there is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. The author of the book, Apostle Jonathan David, says that this is the mantle. This is the mantle. We'll further develop that. This is the mantle. Then we have the gift of prophecy. And it talks about this being the resident gift. You know, last week I mentioned something about the resident gift, and I say, well, that click, I need to go ahead on and get into some of this. Then we have what is the ministry of the prophet, the ministry of the prophet, which talks about a man who functions in this office. Because y'all know a lot of people think because you prophesy, they make you a prophet. Oh, Jesus. Got more prophets than you can shake a stick at. Tonight we're going to identify them. Then, fourthly, we have the prophecy of Scripture, or what the Bible calls the canon of Scripture. Now, this is very important. They're listed as 1, 2, 3, 4, but the fourth one is very important. Because apart from the Scripture, you can't function. Right. See, a lot of people want to prophesy, but they don't want to judge it. So there's, listen to me. All prophecy got to line up with the Scripture. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go through these. The spirit of prophecy is the first one. This realm of the prophetic unction is mentioned in Revelations 19 and 10. Turn to it. Revelations 19 and 10. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's really what, you know, all prophecy should be to glorify the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. As I told you before, it's not about you. It's not about the gift. Mm-hmm. It's about the person who the gift is talking about. Mm-hmm. You with me? Amen. Revelation 19 and 10. The spirit of prophecy testifies to the manifested presence of Jesus in a meeting or in a service. I said the spirit of prophecy testifies to the fact that Jesus is present in that meeting. Okay. You studied the book of Revelation. Jesus said, I'm in the midst of my church. Yeah. Jesus said, I hold the seven stars, which are the seven angels of the churches. The seven candlesticks, they represent the churches. Jesus said, I hold them angels in my hand, but I'm in the midst of my church. Yeah. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, Jesus want to be manifested in every service. So now we have Revelation 19 and 10. Read it, what it says.
And I fell at his feet. To worship him.
I fell at his feet to worship him.
And he said unto me. See thou, do it not.
See thou, don't do that. Why?
I am thy fellow servant.
I am your fellow servant. Now, y'all remember, this is the Apostle John who was caught up on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, where Jesus said, I'm going to give you a revelation of who I am. Mm-hmm. All right. He met somebody up there, a fellow servant, who began to talk to him. He turned around and wanted to worship him. The fellow servant said, no, don't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just your fellow brother. Mm-hmm. You listening to me? Now, read. What does he say to him?
And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.
Notice what he say. Worship God. Don't worship me. Worship God.
That's
Read.
For the testimony of Jesus
is the spirit of prophecy. So right from the foundation, you begin to see that prophecy is to bring glory to Jesus, to magnify him. Now, I've been around a little bit. I've seen prophecy that ain't magnifying him at all. All right. Read.
And I saw heaven open.
No. That's enough. We'll do this. Now, the presence of Jesus charges up a meeting. The environment becomes conducive for worship, and a great liberty is felt. Now, you've been in services before. Huh? When the presence of Jesus comes into a meeting,
yes.
Come on, the atmosphere gets real charged up.
Yes.
Now, you could water down the atmosphere trying to move in the flesh,
right.
Calling it prophecy. I mean, just feel like the whole thing, like somebody got a wet sock on. You listening to me? Because what happens is that there's no more glorifying Jesus. Now we magnifying the gift or the person or ourselves. So it's doing, I'm talking about the prophetic flow. There's a lot about the prophetic flow in this season we have to learn, because music and musicians are important to the prophetic flow. See, when you minister in song, it ain't about you. You're ministering to usher in that presence. Musicians must understand the most important thing. See, I know something. I know a little bit about this. Okay, I'm not a rookie. I know something about this, because I'm going to tell you something. There are certain strings that you can hit on the keyboard or on a guitar, on any of those instruments that can stir up the prophetic. That it's like a gateway. It opens it up. You stir it up on the inside.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about some of that. You know, Saul had an evil spirit upon him. David say, bring me my harp so I can get on this thing and minister to him. Come on. Now watch what it said. The environment becomes conducive to worship, and a great liberty is felt. Different degrees of anointing operate in each of these prophetic levels. We need to have a clear understanding of the various levels of the prophetic flow and how they function in order to be able to distinguish and to develop each level, bringing it to maturity and to effectiveness. Then we talked about the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit's mantle. The spirit of prophecy is what? The Holy Spirit's mantle of the prophetic anointings given during times of worship and prophetic activation, causing the believer to be an instrument for prophecy. I'll say that again. Now, and this is what I want you to understand about that. It says the spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit's mantle. Mm-hmm. See, during times of worship, we're talking about an atmosphere that becomes conducive to prophesy. Okay. See, many of you, you can feel the Spirit of God come up on you during a worship service. Huh? That's the Holy Spirit's mantle. See, we kind of get flaky, but when we all come together, every single one of you can prophesy. The purpose of this class is to start to open yourself up to it. Yeah. Desire it, want it, and don't be afraid, because you're going to have to step out on faith to move in prophecy. Amen. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes upon, it can cause the believer, because of the atmospheric conditions, to prophesy. Y'all understand that? When worship, the spirit of liberty is felt. The Holy Spirit is in there, and then you get that unction. But a lot of time when you get that unction, what creep in?
Fear.
Intimidation. You worried about who in there? God's in there.
Amen.
But you got to have somebody to judge what you're about to say.
Amen.
Amen. Because you can't develop without being judged.
That's right.
Amen. That'll help you get rid of the fear too.
Amen.
Miss it a few times. We'll help you make it. Amen. And you, I can tell you something about as you moving in this. Sometimes it's some of the people, some of the we would consider the least spiritual people. Right. See. Well, all right. Let's talk. The Corinthian church. When you read 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church, the Bible says they came behind in no spiritual gift. Amen. Yet they will act like a bunch of babies. But when it came to moving in the gifts of the Spirit, they went for it. See, we sometimes feel like, okay, you got to be perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect. You have to be responsive. Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we need to learn how to respond to him. Amen. He's the one that's manifesting the gift. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, so during a course of a service, when the spirit of prophecy come upon, everybody can prophesy.
Yeah.
Y'all got it?
Yes,
but it says those who do not have the gift of prophecy, that is the resident gift. Mm-hmm. And those who don't have, who are not prophets, that is the ministry of the prophet or man in function. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Watch what it says. They cannot prophesy unless this prophetic mantle comes upon them. So that's basically telling you that those who don't have the resident gift, the gift of prophecy functioning in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and who stand in the office of the prophet or the prophet's mantle. See, the resident gift and a prophet, they don't need for the atmosphere to get right in order to prophesy. By reason of maturity, they can stir themselves up or cause themselves to be stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying? In order to what? Prophesy. We're talking about prophecy. And what is prophecy? A supernatural utterance in a known language. Okay? In other words, you're getting a clear word from God to speak, and everybody in there is going to be edified because they understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? Now, those who do not have the gift of prophecy, and those who are not prophets, that is the ministry of the prophet, cannot prophesy unless this prophetic mantle comes upon them. When the Holy Spirit anointing increases in a service, all can learn to prophesy, watch this, one by one. That's 1 Corinthians 14. Notice what it said. You can learn to prophesy. Put it another way, you could be trained. And I believe the church needed, it's almost like the gifts of the Spirit miss or are very dormant in the body of Christ. And that's because I believe people are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I say I believe people are afraid.
Exactly.
See, whenever there's a abuse or a misuse and it's corrected, what happens? Fear sets in.
Yes.
I mean, let's say somebody get up and start operating in the flesh and you shut them down. That's not for you to become fearful. That's to teach that person to quit operating in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in meetings with Apostle Thompson. People come back and tell me, yeah, thus say the Lord. This about the cross. Apostle will shut them down. Because, see, God is not going to contradict himself in the meeting.
Amen.
And God ain't going to use you to correct his man up there.
Right.
You understand? You out of order.
Amen.
And God is not the author of confusion.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
So you got to have a governmental gift up there. Watch this. Like a conductor conducting an orchestra. You can learn to prophesy one by one when you have these governmental gifts in there.
Yes.
And we'll go to some scripture. Just give me a minute here. Because what you're going to see is when the atmosphere is conducive, even under the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon and people would prophesy.
Amen.
So you know if they could do it under the Old Testament and they didn't have the Holy Spirit within, he would come upon. How much more can we prophesy in the New Testament when we have the Holy Spirit within and upon?
Amen.
Okay? Now, watch what it says. When the Holy Spirit's anointing increases in a service, all can learn to prophesy one by one. Whenever there is an intense flow of praise and worship, or when the prophetic ministry is in function, the Spirit of prophecy comes up on the congregation. Notice what it says. It talks about praise and worship, or when the prophetic ministry, notice it said prophetic ministry, put it another way, ministry of the prophet. Okay, now you want to see it in operation, turn to Numbers 11. We're going to read 24 through 30. Now, I know you should know this already, but Moses was a prophet.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that the Bible, God told Moses, a prophet I will raise up like unto you. You heard me? A prophet I'm going to raise up like to you, and everybody need to hear him. Moses just wasn't no regular man. I submit to you, Apostle Thompson ain't no regular man.
Amen.
Y'all ready for this? Watch this. The ministry of the prophet is not an office. It's a ministry. Offices are appointed by men, elders, deacons. We appoint men to be elders. We appoint men to be deacons. But when it comes to standing in the office of an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher, I keep using the word office, but I should say these are ministry gifts. The difference is ministry gifts are callings. I like the way Apostle Thompson handled his calling, because when he was called to the apostleship, he didn't have a big meeting to have people come from around the country to lay hands on him and call him apostle, because you don't need all that. You know, I like, it's kind of what Paul did. Paul said, I certify to you, brethren, this message that I preach didn't come from a man. This call, first of all, this calling I have didn't come from a man. You understand? And I believe that's important. I will tell you this with absolute certainty. I'm not up here because a man was calling me. I know the call. And I can recognize the call in somebody else's life. You know, ministry is a calling. You can't come to school to be a minister. This is a calling. And if you don't have the calling, do not mess with the titles. Because watch this. Every title comes with goods.
Yes.
To call yourself an apostle and don't have that, the gifting of an apostle, you're going to mess somebody's life up.
Yes.
And this is where the church is going back to. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says, there are some amongst you who call themselves apostles. Now watch this. And you tried them and found out they are not.
Yes.
See, we don't have no proving in the body. You can get a card, 123.com. I'm a prophet. You know, I'm just saying, I get a nice, pretty card, you know, and you go for it. I get a nice, pretty card, a nice, pretty flyer, you know, and tapes and books and throw it out there. The whole prophecy club need to get shut down. Because I told you last time, many of them out there telling me this going to happen, that's going to happen. Just be quiet. Y'all trying to be prophets. Real men of God who God talked to, you can bank on what they're saying.
That's right.
And that's what we're going back to. That's governmental gifts.
Yes.
Now, let's go further. I don't have time to read it all. We need to go through. But if you read Numbers 11, 24 through 30, you remember when Moses was doing something that wasn't wise, and his father-in-law told him, he said, now look, Moses, you out here judging them people. You know, that's not wise what you're doing. You know, what you need to do is you need to get you some men and cause your spirit to come upon them.
Yeah.
Now, Moses was a what?
Prophet.
A what?
Prophet.
Okay, now we read and said that whenever the prophetic flow is in manifestation, right, that the spirit of prophecy can come upon people. Okay, well, the Bible in Numbers 11 talks about when these men, I guess I better read it because you ain't gonna understand it unless I read it. Let's go. Verse 24 through 30, read.
And Moses went out
and told the people
the words of the Lord.
And he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people.
And set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud.
And spake unto Moses.
And took of the spirit that was upon Moses.
And he gave it unto who? The 70 elders. Read.
And it came to pass.
That when the Spirit rested upon them,
they prophesied.
They did what?
Prophesied.
They did what?
Prophesy.
All right, now I want y'all to pay close attention. I want y'all to pay close attention. I know we can't go to all the scriptures, but in studying the scripture, you remember when Mary went to Elizabeth's house?
Yes,
y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
Bringing her the salutation that she was carrying across Christ child. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says when the baby heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in his mother's womb. And the baby was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Not only did the baby get filled, but mama got filled. All right, what happened after mama got filled? She began to prophesy. What happened on the day of Pentecost when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost? Huh? You know, they began to prophesy. Same thing in Acts chapter 10. See, we have made prophesying like it's some, you know, real big, ooh. No, this is natural. When the Spirit of God come upon you, he stirs you up. If you've been spending time with him, he can talk to you. Like I told you, I've seen people. I'll tell you who it is. My little sister-in-law. You would have to know her. She don't think much of herself at all. But boy, when that atmosphere gets stirred up, huh? She'll go off and begin to just go off in tongues, and all of a sudden she come back and she starts saying, "This is what the Lord is saying." It shake up the entire atmosphere. Oh, see that? See, because once again, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. It charges up the atmosphere. People get liberated and set free when the gifts of the Spirit are in manifestation. Are you with me? All right. So what happened to the 70 elders? They began to what? Why did they begin to prophesy? Because the prophet, man in function, was there. And the spirit that was up on him, that came from the presence of God coming down to talk to him, went up on those 70 men and they start prophesying. Y'all got it?
Amen.
So that shows you. So that tells you when you're in a meeting with Apostle Thompson, who stands in the office of an apostle and a prophet, amongst many other things. I know people get nervous when you say that, but you know, if you develop yourself and train yourself, you don't let people put a label on you.
That's right.
Because it's what God is doing, not what you think.
That's right.
You understand? But I can tell you what, I know how knowing that he is. If you get around him and get close enough to him, every time you're around him, something come up on you.
That's right.
All right. Well, maybe you ain't got close enough. Hold on, baby. Trust what I'm telling you. One time I had the nerve to go up to the altar. I saw his pants leg wasn't right. And so I just eased on up to call myself fixing it for him. Man, almost not made it back to the seat because they had something going through them clothes. All right. Some of y'all work around him. If you've ever been, get close to him. Your whole body will catch on fire. I mean, I say feel like the hairs on your head standing up. I feel like some of y'all ain't got close enough. You need to keep on coming then. That man has a rare anointing. He paid the price for it. Matter of fact, I forget where I was, but somebody, there was a place, it was a restaurant I went into. And they said, when this man walked in the restaurant, the whole atmosphere, the whole restaurant changed.
My God.
That's packing, baby.
When
he went to the hospital, y'all not talking to me. See, because of the office he's standing, there's an anointing that comes along with it. The whole atmosphere in the hospital changed. Okay, so if Moses was anointed, hello, and the Spirit could only come upon him, what's about those who have the Holy Spirit within and upon?
Come on.
All right. So y'all saw that when the Spirit rested upon them, they begin to what?
Prophesy.
Okay, it goes on a little farther. Let's see. Pick up where we left off. Verse 26.
Yes.
Read.
But there remained two of the men in the camp.
The
name of the one was Eldad.
And
the name of the other, Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written. But went not out unto the tabernacle. They prophesied in the camp.
And they did what?
Prophesied in the camp.
Okay, but notice they didn't prophesy until what? Come on, it's in there. I'm not trying to trick you. They didn't prophesy until the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. They didn't go to the meeting, but they were still in the camp. The same Spirit that came upon the ones who went to the meeting is the same Spirit that went to the ones that was in the camp. And what happened? The ones who was in the meeting prophesied, and the ones who stayed in the camp when the same Spirit showed up did what?
Prophesied.
So prophesying is not that difficult. Read.
And told Moses.
And said.
Eldad and Medad. Who prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun.
And Joshua, who was Moses' servant, Moses' minister.
The servant of Moses.
Read.
One of his young men.
Said.
My Lord Moses. Forbid them. And Moses said unto him.
Now I want you to pay close attention to this statement. Watch what Moses told, watch this. One of his younger men, who, y'all know how sometimes we have younger people around you. They think they protecting you from what somebody else doing.
Yes.
Pay close attention to what Moses told Joshua. What did he say?
Envious thou for my sake?
Are you jealous for my sake? Read.
Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets.
Notice what Moses' heart was. I would that all of God's people were what?
Prophets.
And that the Lord would put his spirit upon them.
And that his Lord would do what?
Put the spirit upon them.
Y'all know what? The Spirit of the Lord is up on this church.
Yes.
Y'all understand that?
Yes.
Huh? We have a privilege. Yes. Y'all understand? Yes. See, under the old covenant, the Spirit of God would come upon. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Under the New Testament, he's within and upon. You know, in the function in those offices, the ministry mantles, the Holy Spirit had to come upon them. Mm-hmm. We have the gift on the inside, and he's upon us.
You.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now you found that out. Then in First Samuel, chapter number 19, verse 20 through 24. I just wanted to get that in. I would that all of God's children were prophets. Amen.
Amen.
All of them. 1 Samuel 19, 20 through 24. Read, what it say?
And Saul sent messengers to take David.
And when they saw the company of the prophets. Prophesying.
And Samuel standing as appointed.
Over them.
The Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul.
The Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul.
And they prophesied.
Now, what's important here? In Numbers, Moses was there,
yes.
The ministry gift of the prophet. In 1 Samuel, Samuel was there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand?
Yes.
So where those gifts was, the spirit of prophecy would come upon them.
Yes.
By reason of being in the presence of those gifts. Read.
And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers. And they prophesied likewise.
Well, when you come into the presence, see, I often tell y'all, you don't have to explain to people, just let them come. You don't have to explain speaking in tongues and all of that stuff. Let them come. You keep them away. Well, don't get too scared because we speak in tongues. Well, how you felt the first time you went to a service when they spoke in tongues? They can't prepare you for that.
Right.
You hear these people, you be like, oh, Lord Jesus. I'm not but until, watch this, until that conviction come upon you.
Yes.
And that presence come upon you, then all of a sudden that fear leave you. You know you're in the right place because this service is different from that dead service I came out of. They ain't got no spirit. Songs with no spirit. Preaching with no spirit. Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Saul kept sending these messengers. Finally, we don't have time to read it all. Finally, Saul himself went. Saul said, hold up, this happened to all my men. I'm going to go check this out for myself. And he went, and what happened to him? He started prophesying. Why? Because he got in that prophetic flow. He got where the atmospheric conditions was conducive to prophesy. When we come together in services, especially because we're up under apostolic teaching and apostolic government, I'm telling you, all of you, if you start paying attention, if you're in these LTMA churches especially, you will begin to find that the spirit of prophecy will rest upon you.
Hallelujah.
All right. All right. Okay. Now I ain't going to go through that. All right. So y'all got that, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. That should have took you through about page 34. When the prophets function, this is on page 34. When the prophets function in the local assembly, they set the flow of the prophetic unction and what? Revelation for the rest of the what? Believers to walk into. See, they set the atmosphere. You just walk right on into it. Yes. Y'all know every service ain't high. There are times feel like people sitting on you.
Yes,
they're like, what you wait for dinner?
Yes,
y'all know I'm telling the truth, but watch this. A man who's developed in the spirit,
yes,
such as Apostle Thompson, yes, I have seen him go into hostile environments, hard as a brick.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And the whole atmosphere changed because he walks out there with a mantle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I know sometimes, got to admit, sometimes you just, oh my God, say, you know what? Ain't nothing I do going to help y'all. Y'all want a performance. I need to go it on and close my Bible and get the hell up on out of here. Because, a jackhammer ain't going to get this concrete off of y'all.
My.
I've been in services like that. So hard that you just want to close your Bible and say, let's leave.
Wow.
Ain't nothing going in up in here. I hope you not like that.
My
glory to God. I got a few more minutes. I always tell her to signal me. All right. Do a little bit better. Give y'all one or two more minutes. 7:25, I will be shutting down. When the prophets function in the local assembly, they set the flow of the prophetic unction and revelation for the rest of the believers to do what? Walk into. The flow of revelation knowledge inspires the spirit and the mind of the what? Believers. And their what? Spirits begin to do what? Bubble up and gush forward. See, when that prophetic flow, that's why musicians got to be trained. That's why people have to be trained, y'all. Listen to me. Training is so important. You're going to find more and more as we begin to move in the gifts of the spirit, conviction will come up on people.
Yes.
You know, you start talking about these, and I'm going to say something and I have to close, but I'm going to say this here. When these gifts are in manifestation, it's not about trying to embarrass somebody. You watch what happened to the woman at the well when Jesus revealed to her what was going on in her life.
Right.
She didn't lead a church.
Right.
She went and won the whole city.
Yes, she did.
Because that gift in operation wasn't to embarrass her.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got to stop.